Chapter 4. Mindfuck. The Middlesex County Courthouse, where the DA's office was headquartered, was an unrelievedly ugly building. A 16-story tower built in the 1960s, the exterior facades were molded concrete in various rectangular shapes, flat slabs, egg crate grids, arrow-slit windows. It was as if the architect had banned curved lines and warm building materials in an effort to make the place as grim as possible. Things did not get much better inside. The interior spaces were airless, yellowed, grimy. Most offices had no windows. The solid block shape of the building entombed them. The modern-style courtrooms were windowless, too. It is a common architectural strategy to build courtrooms without windows, to enhance the effect of a chamber isolated from the everyday world, a theater for the great and timeless work of the law. Here they need not have bothered. We could spend whole days in this building and never see sun or sky. Worse, the courthouse was known to be a sick building. The elevator shafts were lined with asbestos, and every time an elevator door rattled open, the building coughed out a cloud of toxic particulate into the air. Soon enough, the whole ramshackle thing would have to be shut down. But for now, for the lawyers and detectives inside, the shabbiness did not matter much. It is in seedy places like this that the real work of local government so often gets done. After a while, you stop noticing. Most days I was at my desk by 7:30 or 8, before the phones really got going, before first call at 9:30. But with Jacob's school reopening that morning, I did not get in till after 9. Anxious to see the Rifkin file, I immediately closed my office door, sat down, and arrayed the murder scene photos across my desk. I propped one foot on an open drawer and leaned back, staring at them. At the corners of my desk, the photo wood laminate had begun to peel away from the pressboard desk. I had a nervous habit of picking at these corners unconsciously, prying up the flexi laminate surface with my finger like a scab. I was sometimes surprised to hear the rhythmic clicking sound it made as I lifted and snapped it. It was a sound I associated with deep thought. That morning, I'm sure I was ticking like a bomb. The investigation felt wrong, strange, too quiet, even after 5 long days of digging. It is a cliché, but it is true. Most cases break quickly in the frantic hours and days right after a murder, when the noise is everywhere, evidence, theories, ideas, witnesses, accusations, possibilities. Other cases take a little longer to sort out, to pick out the right signal in that noisy environment, the true story among many plausible ones. A very few cases never get solved. The signal never does emerge from the static. Possibilities abound, all plausible, none confirmable, none provable, and that is how the case ends. But in every case, there is always noise. There are always suspects, theories, possibilities to consider. Not in the Rifkin murder. 5 days of silence. Somebody stitched 3 holes in a line across that boy's chest and left nothing to indicate who or why.